This is the Power Players Podcast, Episode 7, called The Shitty Committee.
Welcome to the Power Players Podcast, designed to help you challenge yourself and level up in the game of life. And now, your hosts, Tom Trundle and Bo Kurowski.
So I'm Tom Trundle, one of your hosts, and each week we'll be diving into different strategies on how to become a better you. Now, all the things we say will be purely anecdotal, things that we've seen or discovered through our own experiences or through our own research. But whenever possible, if we include articles, studies, or statistics, we'll also post the show notes up on our webpage at pwrplyrs.com. With me, as always, is my good friend and podcast buddy, Bo Kurowski. How are you, Bo?
I am doing all right. It is still hot, man.
It is hot in here.
I'm still hot.
It's hot as hell, which is an interesting segue into our topic for today.
How does hell? Yeah. So this week we're going to talk. I know last week we mentioned that we were going to talk about coping mechanisms, but we decided to change it up into religion this week.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about things that maybe challenge us as well as challenge some of our listeners.
Yeah, because I feel that religion is such a core element of who we are as people that it has a huge impact on how much power we have and how much we put out. Going forward in chasing our dreams and things like that. But before we get into the topic of religion, we've been kind of on and off and on and off when it comes to the podcast. We've had a lot of stuff going on. So why don't we do like a little recap of just where we've been and where we're going?
Yeah. So it's been 2 weeks since we last met and a few different things have gone on. Nothing, I don't think anything life-changing or anything like that. Just, we've just been busy with life. Catch me up, Bo. What was your last couple weeks like?
So last week I went to a leadership camp, which is a whole story in and of itself. It was a youth leadership camp, which was more... There were no leadership tactics in there. It was a complete waste of time from my perspective.
When you say leadership camp, was that for you or is that something you set up for the kids that you work with?
No, it was something that was put on for kids.
Okay.
And by adults, but it just completely missed the mark.
Yeah.
I think it was much more, I don't even know how to say it. It was like when you do speaking presentations, but their speaking presentations are literally 3 seconds. Oh, that was fantastic meeting. You guys are going to do great in the future. It doesn't have anything to do with what they're doing as leaders.
Sure. Was that all weekend?
That was mostly that for them. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I just went on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And bounced out.
See, I had a completely different weekend. I had a great weekend. It was a men's retreat. I go on it every year with a bunch of guys that I'm part of a group. And we went to Rancho Palos Verdes, RPV. Okay. We went down there and just spent the weekend together. Went down Friday during the day, spent the night Friday night. Saturday during the day, we hung out and went to the pier and played cards and games, and then we came back on Sunday. So
it was just hanging out. It was just
We just had it's kind of a more of a spiritual retreat. So we had meetings and everything like that. Yeah.
Perfect, but it was just, for today.
Yeah, it really was great. It's interesting because these are guys that I spend one night a week with anyway. Okay. Just kind of meeting and going over different things that have happened throughout the week. A recap similar to this. Where we kind of talk about things, but you don't really talk too much about what's going on in each other's lives. You talk about like maybe a pressing need of the day. Like, for example, you bring up a problem and then the men of the group come up with a solution. When we get together on the weekend, well, this is once a year, we just get to kind of hang out and see what people are like, talk about family and talk about things that aren't necessarily problems and get to kind of know each other a little better. So it was a great trip.
Oh, so you deal with more with each other rather than the problems.
Exactly.
And the life goings.
Yeah. And it's good. Most of the stuff that we talk about at the one night a week meeting is pressing stuff. But when we get together in this group environment, it gives everybody an opportunity to just kind of hang out. Like I played cribbage with a guy who's twice my age.
I don't even know how to play cribbage. That's like an old man's game, I think, isn't it?
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah. But all those, card and board games are getting to be old man games, though, if you've noticed.
I guess I should start learning because I'm 43 now.
Pinochle, I guess, is the one that they wanted to teach me. I'm like, that's a prison game. At least I know that much. Yeah, but we did that and we hung out and then we played some other games. So it was good. It was a good trip.
Fantastic. Yeah. And this week, I did an award ceremony. I got the highest award, which was pretty fantastic for the youth group that I'm with. So the highest honor.
Which was?
It's called the Cross of Honor.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really cool because it was presented to me in a ritual format. So the four guys that were giving me the award, they had to memorize all this stuff. So it was really cool because we've seen these kids grow from, you know, 14, 15, 16, all the way up to 18, 19. One of them's now in UCLA, going to UCLA this year. So to see the progression and to know that we had a part in that and them giving us the award, it was pretty moving.
Did it turn into a roast? Did they?
No, we did not get roasted. Not yet.
Not yet. That's cool, though. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I did have my sister in town.
Oh, yes.
This last week.
Yes.
So it was a really great week for me. I don't know how much we've shared about this in previous podcasts. Not much about kind of our childhood and everything like that. But I didn't know my father growing up. My parents got divorced when I was pretty young, about two and a half. And then I stopped seeing him around 3.5, 4. And he had a whole family after me. He actually got married for the second time and had 3 kids with that wife, and then they got divorced, and then he got married again and had another.
Whoa, so he's got 3 families.
Yeah, right. Holy cow. Right. And he had a daughter with his third wife, and he passed away, gosh, about 12 years ago. It's interesting because I'm actually the only boy out of the mix. I do have a brother, but he's a stepbrother, so he's not related to my dad. Yeah. My sister reached out to me about a month ago, said she wanted to come out and visit. She's 19 years old. You know, she had a little money put away, some vacation time with work. Her boyfriend or ex-boyfriend, or you know how it is at 19, right?
Yeah,
on again, off again, right? Is out here studying, not studying, but he joined the Marines. So he's in Miramar, MCAS. I forget what that's
down south in San Diego.
Down south San Diego. She's like, well, I'll come out and visit you for a couple of days, and then I'll go to San Diego for a couple of days. So yeah, we spent the Thursday and Friday together, and we had a great time. And you know, we posted some pictures on Instagram. I'll put some on the Power Players site so people can see. It was so great because I met her once when she was 1, and once when she was 16.
That's unreal.
And she initiated. So brave. She came out all on her own. You know, said, I want to spend time with you. I want to, you know, get to know you. And we had a great time.
That's good stuff, man. Yeah. I think we should make that as part of one of our podcasts, family.
Yeah.
That should definitely be one of our podcasts.
Absolutely. Because so much has changed even in the last few years with me and my family on both sides of the spectrum. So,
yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, oof. In the past few weeks, things have changed in your family. You got a new daughter, and yeah, we've talked about her and everything. So, yeah, I've talked enough. Tell me what your physical changes has been going on.
So my physical changes, this week I hit a pretty big milestone. I've been running pretty consistently and hit a 12-minute mile, which I'm really proud of, without stopping. I about threw up afterwards, but held it in, so that was pretty exciting for me. And I ran 13 minutes today, which is the longest I've ever run. So I feel like I'm on track, man. I think I'm going to do pretty well. It's just amazing how consistency over a period of time produces results.
Right. There's a awesome little elevation thing. There's a method that I'm studying, which is called the flow method, which is basically like getting into the zone, getting into the flow. Mm. And what they talk about in that is making incremental changes, like 4% increases. So for example, if you know you run for 100 seconds as fast as you can all out, the next goal should be not to do it for 200 seconds or not even to do it for 150 seconds, but to do it 104 seconds. And those small little incremental changes over time add up to, you know, you start going from impossible to possible.
Yeah. So when I started running, I could only run literally 800 yards. I couldn't even run 800 yards.
And now your knees, right?
You know, when we first started the podcast, I wasn't sure whether I couldn't run any further because it was my cardiovascular or if it was my muscles, and I remembered that it was both of them. And now I'm pushing forward at a mile and starting to drill that down. It was actually under 12 minutes. It was 11:45.
It's very important.
So that's a big.
That's huge.
That's another 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel really, really good about myself and in the progress that I'm making.
Did I share about me wanting to do the 100 push-up challenge?
Did
we talk about any of the results? I can't remember.
No, I know that you said you were going to start.
Oh, my gosh. So I I got up the day to do it, and I said, I'm going to break this out. I'm going to do like chunks, right? Because there's no way I could do 100 push-ups in a row.
Right.
I know my limitations, at least as far as that. But I figured, all right, if I space it out throughout the day, I should be okay. So I have the perfect push-ups. You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like
the
do they paddles. Rotate?
Yeah. And it helps, and helps a little bit with just kind of, but I think it makes it harder.
So for those that don't know what a perfect push-up machine is, it's these two little rotating, they're like Lazy Susans with grips on them. So it allows you to go down even further than what you usually are, but it doesn't put as much stress on your wrists.
Right. And I use those because I thought maybe it would facilitate the push-up a little bit easier, but I guess
no,
it makes it harder, right?
You're much more form perfect with those.
So, which is good, which is kind of the goal, right? So I did 10, and then I did 20 sit-ups, and then I did like 10 air squats or 20 air squats. I don't remember the exact amount, but what I do remember is the exact amount of push-ups. And I went down to do my second set of push-ups, and I got 9. And I could not do another one. And then I'm like, all right, I'll take a rest. I'll go back right before work, because it was like 5 in the morning. So at like 7:30, right before I was going to jump into the shower, I'm like, oh, I'll drop down and, you know, do another 10 push-ups, right? I'll get 29 or 30 done before the day starts. I couldn't do a single push-up for the next 3 days. So needless to say, that experiment died almost immediately. But it was crazy. So I started kind of telling people that story at work about how I couldn't do more than 90. I said, you could put a $100 bill down on the floor right now, and you could say, I'll give you $100 if you can do 2 push-ups. And I said, the reason why I say 2 is because maybe I could do 1 for $100, but I could not do 2, and I literally could not do 1. So I told my buddy, he goes, I could bang out 20 right now. I'm like, go ahead, bang out 20 right now. And he's a little better shape than me, and he did. We went into one of the side offices, and he did 10, and he goes, I'm going to stop at 10. So I've seen these guys do these posts about, or doing 100 push-ups a day, and I'm like, how is that? Do you think you could do 100 push-ups in a day?
I don't know. I could do 19 at one shot. It would be really tough. Yeah. I think I would start with 50 and try and work my way up to 100. I don't think I could do 100 in one day.
It's a lot harder than it sounds.
So the first time I did P90X, the first day was push-ups, pull-ups, push-ups, pull-ups. And you go through it. I didn't realize this at the time, but there's 2 sets. Like, so you go through this entire wide grip, close grip, diamond, one-handed push-ups, and then you do that whole set over again. And I didn't realize that there was another set coming. So I was, you know, crushing it and grinding it out as best I could, doing burnout every time. I could not do a normal push-up for 3 months.
Months?
No, I take that back. It was like 1 month. But still. I don't want to lie. But I was peeing brown because I just tore all the muscles and the fiber and stuff. And I literally could not do a normal push-up. I had to do girl push-ups for the rest of the
P90X. We call them modified push-ups.
Modified push-ups.
Well, you need to be.
Am I old school?
I am going to do this, so I'm going to put this here now so it's out there for posterity. We love to use posterity as our word of the day. I am going to start my water fast. I think I told you about that before. I was doing a modified fast, 500 calories or less for a while, and it worked for a while. But I cheated the past week on my
diet. With your sister.
Yeah, my sister and the men's retreat and everything like that. So I'm going to try at least 21 days, but I'm going to shoot for 30. 30 days is a water fast.
That's a long go.
Yeah.
That's
a
long go. So when are you starting?
So far behind. I'm starting tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'm so far behind my weight loss goals. Like I should be at like 251 right now, and I'm at like 260. So I'm actually probably around 263 or 4.
All right. So you're like 10 pounds 10, 15 behind.
15 pounds almost over, you know? So I did this. Now this isn't a way I would suggest people losing weight. This is definitely something that I've checked with medical professionals.
No, I haven't.
But I would definitely suggest you doing everything, checking with your doctor or your health professional or your trainer before you undertake any sort of drastic activity like this. But this is something that I want to try for a long time. It's more of a test of willpower. Obviously, it's
like David Blaine shit, man.
Yeah, but it's interesting. And here's the selfish aspect of it, right? I say right a lot. I know we need to cut that.
Yes, you do. I edit the shit out of your...
God damn it. here's the selfish aspect of the 30-day water fast. Every single video of somebody posting them doing a water fast, of like 21 days or more is the minimum has been like 70,000, but like the maximum has been around like 1.4 million plus, like some are even higher than that, but there's only like six or seven videos. So it, there's something about it that gets a lot of, you know, it, it garners a lot of attention. So in order to kind of, it's kind of like a publicity stunt, right? Okay. But in this case, it, it will help me with my, you know, my weight loss goals. And you know, there's a lot of benefits to fasting too.
You should do a YouTube video channel of this stuff then.
I'll put it on the Power Player site. Yeah, I can do three videos. I could do one that's serious or, you know, Power Player focused. I could do one that's funny, which is part of my sketch comedy group. And I could do one that's kind of middle of the road. And I could post, you know, I could do one each day, three different videos, but I can post one on each site. So it'd be three pieces of content to my big three major things. But obviously I want to build out our Power Players site as well.
Yep.
So that's physical. What about mental or
spiritual?
Spiritual.
So I'm through about 125 pages of the 188 page book.
The Buddhism one?
The Buddhism one.
Okay.
I've taken a little bit of a break from it and started meditating more and trying to actually listen for God's voice.
What meditations are you doing? Any guided ones, or are you doing?
I did one on productivity. Yeah, I think all of them have been more on, more like been guided.
An app or?
I did one on, a couple of them are on YouTube that I really like, and so I just do those over and over.
Will you post them on the?
Yeah,
the
page? I'll post those. And what I found is that even with guided meditations, what happens is, because they're talking the entire time and I'm concentrating on my breathing and my what I'm going to do for the day, I don't ever have time to listen to the voice or listen, just be quiet and still and listen. And I think that's what's been missing. So I'm going to spend a lot more time doing those kinds of things. I might have like a 5-minute guided meditation to calm my breathing and focus down and then just spend some time listening and writing down stuff afterwards.
Everything I've read about meditation and mindfulness is that it's a necessary practice for you to get to the next level.
Yeah.
Being able to really transform your life. And mindfulness especially, and some people call it meditation, but meditation in some circles is considered, you know, not masculine, you know, but mindfulness is being aware, being present, being in that moment. And I think that's really interesting the way you said it. You know, you want to be able to hear that voice of God or higher power or your inner voice. And I think independent of anybody's beliefs, everybody has some sort of voice in their head, whether it's an inner monologue or anything like that. I call it the shitty committee.
The shitty committee.
Right? The voices that tell me, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you can't do this. You know, you know, you're going to fail if you try this. Don't put yourself out there. You know,
I got to write that down. The shitty committee. Did you come up with that?
No.
One of these days we're going to come up with something.
It's going to be gold. But being able to take the time to listen to what your body is telling you, what your heart is telling you, what your gut is telling you, and what your brain is telling you, because each of them has a different voice, I think, too, can really transform the way you approach day-to-day life. So let's get into the topic for today.
All right. So the topic is religion.
Yeah.
I think religion is super important when it comes to being able to access those higher levels. I found that even in meditating, I've come across different levels and implemented things that I wouldn't have otherwise. I think oftentimes we kind of run in the direction that we think we need to go. But like you said, there's a committee of voices, one of them being your head, one of them being your heart. Every time I get on that treadmill, I'm hearing, oh, you're too tired. Oh, your stomach hurts. Oh, you got to go to the bathroom. Oh, I'm not hydrated enough.
The shitty committee is in
session. The shitty committee is in full effect. And so I hear all these voices at 2 minutes, 30 seconds. I want to stop. I want to stop. And I know that my body can give more. And so I just have to tell my mind to shut up, man. We got work to do today. And that's kind of how it goes. But when it comes to religion, I have a lot of hangups because I actually used to be on staff at a church. And now every time I get to meditate, I have a real problem because I can't access God the way that I wanted to or thought I was supposed to previously. What's your experience with, I guess, God and prayers and religion and spirituality?
So I believe in a higher power.
Okay.
And that higher power means that there's something out there that's greater than me. And I have a few different a few different acronyms that I use to describe God.
Okay.
One is the Great Outdoors, you know, G-O-D, Great Outdoors. One's Goodness on Demand. We also, as you know, I'm a member of AA, so we call them the Group of Drunks. The group is a higher power than me as an individual. So I believe there's a power out there that's greater than me that may or may not influence my life. But the closer a connection I have to a spiritual experience and a higher power, the better my life is. Whether that's a placebo effect or an actual indication of a higher power working in my life, I can't really place my finger on. But I know that when I'm closer to God or closer to a higher power, things work better for me. And when things are bad, they're not as bad.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I grew up in the church my whole life. Actually, my dad thought he was reincarnated, which is a whole different story. And that's pretty fascinating.
wait. Reincarnated is what? So or just like he
was... Previously, he was a... Either it was a Roman soldier or something like that. And he was chained on the ship. He was a rower for one of these boats that went to war. And his boat sunk. And so that's how he died.
And was this... And did he relive other lives? Or he took 400, 500 years off or 1,000 years off?
He doesn't know the in-betweens.
Okay.
But because we lived in Turkey and England, specifically Turkey, he would go to places and he's like, I've been here before. And he would be able to count out in detail where certain things were that he had not been before.
And your dad's not a... cuckoo guy, right? He's a no-nonsense kind of guy, right?
No, he was Air Commando, right. Lieutenant Colonel, Brief Colin Powell.
I think that's important to note, right? This isn't a guy who just is, you know, hippy-dippy, you know, smoked too many drugs and feels like he had a different life experience. He's a grounded guy that had these experiences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when we were over in Turkey, my mom got baptized in the Sea of Galilee, and that kind of started the whole split of my family. They split after about 28 years, but my mom felt really connected to God and started going in that direction.
And which God?
The Christian God.
Which, any particular?
I don't know if there was any specific sect or, you know.
But Jesus.
Okay. Yes. Not Catholic.
Right. Catholic's a whole nother story.
That's a whole different branch.
Yeah.
So growing up, my dad didn't really go to church, obviously. My mom always took us, and we went, and I was always involved with the youth groups and things like that.
Did you guys have CCD, or is that a Catholic thing?
I have no idea what that is. What
Sunday
is that?
School?
I did Sunday school.
Yeah.
I didn't really like it. Yeah. I never really liked it. I was always forced to go. There was a church group that I was a part of that did clown stuff. And so we would go to hospitals, and
I was
a clown, and I loved that aspect of it.
Being able to help.
So that's kind of how I grew up. When I went to college and there was no oversight, then it was game on.
Yeah.
And so I completely went off the deep end for a while, ended up failing out of college, came to Los Angeles because I'd never been here before and figured, you know, if I can be here, then I can be anywhere.
No, it's New York.
That's true.
But you're here.
So I figured I wanted to swim with the sharks. I picked up on these two girls, and they went to church, and so I ended up going to church, and that's how I ended up doing teen ministry for another 3 years, because I caught, you know, I thought I found God.
Yeah.
And so I did that for 3 years, but in those 3 years, I saw so many different things that was wrong, and I started thinking about it over a period of time. Like, they didn't want me to date my wife, because they wanted her to go up the chain and lead a whole... like world sector. So they were flying in guys for her to date rather than her wanting, because she wanted to date me, but they wouldn't let her date me. So I don't know how religiously, what's the word I'm looking for? It was much more culty.
Sure. That's the word you're looking for.
than I think maybe a lot of other churches are. But it was very intense.
And in a lot of aspects, a lot of religions can be considered, you know, groupthink, culty, you know, in a sense where it's, you know, this is the right way and all other ways are wrong. And
I mean, that's part of the Christian belief system. You know, if you don't believe in Jesus, because he's the way, the truth, and the life, if you don't believe in him, then you're not getting to the next level. You're not going to heaven.
And we were going to talk a little bit about a famous philosophical argument called Pascal's Wager, which I'd like to kind of share with the group. If you're not, and you, this was the first you had heard of it, or you heard about it before?
Well, I had heard of Einstein being quoted as saying something along those lines, but I'd never heard Pascal's argument.
So Pascal's Wager is basically, and I'll just read the Wikipedia. This is, and I will link to it too, but Pascal argues that a rational person should live as though God exists and seek to believe in God. So there's two important aspects of that, right? Not only live as if there was a God, but also seek to believe that there is in fact a God. Because if God does not actually exist, such a person will have only a finite loss, right? Some pleasures, luxury, etc.
Okay.
Whereas he stands to receive infinite gain as represented by eternity in heaven and avoid infinite losses, which would be eternity in hell. So the argument basically is, might as well believe in God, because if you're right, you go to heaven, but if you're wrong, you go to hell. And if God doesn't exist, you don't lose anything anyway.
Well, that presupposes that there is a heaven and hell, and then that's, you know, that again is based on Christian or Catholic or Judaism or Mormonism or whatever the case may be. Well, I mean, there's religions. Oh, okay. So here we go.
But a lot of religions do believe in an afterlife. Right.
Yeah.
Or okay. Salvation.
So Buddhism believes, I believe, also in
reincarnation.
Right. So you just come back for the second round.
But do you come back better than you were before, or do you come back worse than you were before? Right. And that depends on how you live your life.
Your life. Yeah. Right?
So Pascal's wager was, you might as well live the best life you possibly can, because there's so much more to gain if you're right and nothing to lose if you're wrong. But if you don't believe and you're wrong, then you're fucked. Pardon the language.
Yeah, except that, okay, in Hebrews it talks about, for the word is God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing can be uncovered, everything is uncovered and laid bare before him to whom we must give an account. Meaning that if your heart if you're doing things for the wrong reason, it doesn't matter. If you go to church, right? You do the right thing. You go to church every Sunday, but you're going to pick up on girls?
Well,
okay. You see what I'm saying? So you can have the right action, wrong heart, and it doesn't matter. If you're doing it just so that you get to go to heaven, that's the wrong action.
No, absolutely.
For the wrong, I guess, methodology or the wrong reason.
Right.
And God, if you believe in God in that way, knows the difference and be like, yep, no, sorry.
Right. Well, but if you don't believe in God and you live a virtuous life, Pascal would argue it doesn't matter, because one of the conditions to have an afterlife in a lot of these religions is belief. Maybe you get that opportunity on your deathbed. Maybe there's nothing. I don't know. No one knows. No one's been able to definitively prove one way or the other. There's been, again, anecdotal, you know, NDEs, they call them, right? Near-death experiences.
Right, right.
Where people will say, you know, I saw the great light and I saw my family, and they said you had work left to do on earth, and you know, so we're sending you back. So I don't know, but for me, because I was raised Catholic, and I think if you ask a lot of Catholics, because I was raised Catholic, I turned into an atheist later in life. Because I, like you, saw a lot of, you know, cracks in the armor, and I was an altar boy growing up, but like I never had any weird things happen to me.
I was also in the choir.
You were a choir boy too, huh?
I was a choir boy.
Did you ever have any weird things happen to you?
No.
Did you ever have any weird things happen to any of your friends?
No, not in that church.
Right, and neither did I. But I'm not denying that that happened. I'm just saying, like, I guess I was lucky enough to not be part of that mix.
Yeah.
You know,
because there's people are people, and I don't care whether they're priests or whether they're politicians or whether they're dads or uncles or whatever the case may be. Human nature plays across whatever area of service or whatever job they take on.
Yeah, an argument can be made that, specifically for Catholicism, that because the priests and the nuns are specifically required not to have any, you know, take a vow of celibacy, that, you know, that suppressing that, I don't have any of the data right in front of me, but there's been definitive studies done that even kids that are suppressed the urges of the flesh or the body or anything like that, or like made to feel shame for it, develop some pretty bad hangups about it. You know?
It's like squeezing a water balloon, you know, it can't exist in that space anymore. So it's going to squirt out. Now, whether it squirts out between your, your thumb and your index finger or down below your pinky is it's going to happen. It's just a matter of where.
I'm not sure I get that analogy of what you mean by squirting out.
I'm saying if you squeeze a water balloon,
right,
it can't exist in that space anymore as it starts compressing.
Right.
And so it'll pop out somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, well, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're using a true analogy for me. I was, obviously, my dirty mind was going to the glaze.
Oh, yeah.
What's squirting out?
See how you are.
I know exactly how I am. I was suppressed.
See, Jesus needs to save you.
Y'all need Jesus. But I went to an all-boys Catholic high school, and every month they would throw a dance where the only people that could come to the dance, other than the guys that were at obviously school, you know, the boys at the school, were they'd invite girls
from like the Catholic school across the way.
But like any girl could come.
Oh,
okay. Any girl could come. So it was like my school was pretty cool in that regard, you know, because every Friday for the, I think it was either the first Friday of the month or the fourth Friday of the month, whatever the case may be, we would have a huge dance and they would just bus in girls for these school dances, and all manners of debauchery took place during those school dances. I mean,
you find the dark corners.
You wouldn't even need to. You'd just be making out on the floor, and nobody broke you up or anything like that.
Really?
You know, there was no leave room for the Holy Ghost. Or my first real kiss was at a Catholic school dance with this girl that I still keep in touch with, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that was... Oh, 30, almost 30 years ago now?
My first kiss was with a girl named Kelly Stamper in sixth grade.
Oh, I could tell you. I could tell you my...
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade. I want to dox her.
But yeah. She dumped me.
Was it like a real kiss?
No.
I'm talking about like my first French kiss. Like
No.
I remember my first like truth or dare kiss, and I didn't count that.
That was my first girlfriend. My first like real kiss was with a girl named Brandy. She was in eighth grade. I was in ninth grade.
Oh, so right around the same time.
And she smoked, though. So it was like licking an ashtray. It was like this wild, intoxicating,
right,
gross thing all in one.
Did it bring you closer to God? Did it bring you closer to God?
That actually, not only did I kiss for the first time, but that actually made me climax for the first time, too. I'd never done anything
just
like
from kissing,
that.
Though.
Just from kissing.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know what I was doing, and I was like, oh, my gosh, she's going to think I wet my pants. And so I had to climb out on the roof of my friend's house because that's where we were staying, and his door, for some reason, locked from the outside. So we couldn't get out of the room. So I had to climb out on the roof in through another window and go down to the bathroom and clean up and stuff. And then I came back in. She's like, lie down next to me. And I was like, no, and I slept in the closet for the rest of the night. How terrible is that, huh?
That's a great story. I don't know how close to God that is, but that's pretty funny.
I felt pretty close to God until it happened.
Yeah, right? I don't remember my first time ever climaxing. I don't remember my first time masturbating or anything like that. But once I started, I don't think I stopped there since.
Oh, Mom, and if you're listening to this, I apologize.
Yeah. So... my experience as far, I know this is a weird to go back to talk about God after that little bit, but my experience with Catholicism, like I said, led me to become an atheist later in life, where I'm like, I just see so much wrong with the Catholic Church. I see so much wrong with religion. You know, Karl Marx is the one who's famously quoted as saying religion is the opiate for the masses, basically. Religion is what keeps people in check. And now, you know, there's an argument could be made that that's what, you know, politics
absolutely
do. You know, the laws and the different ways that, you know, we are controlled is keeping us opiated, you know, keeping us kind of in a sleep, you know. So I'm not one of those people that's like wake up sheeple kind of guy, like, you know. Another brief segue, but you hear about what happened to Alex Jones?
I don't even know who Alex Jones is.
So Alex Jones is this big right-wing conspiracy theorist guy. He's the one who says that Sandy Hook was a conspiracy.
Is this the InfoWars guy?
It's the InfoWars guy, yeah. Okay. Did you hear what happened? He got deplatformed?
No.
Every social media site, Facebook, YouTube, Spotify.
Twitter?
I don't know if Twitter did it, but anywhere where his videos could be streamed, just removed them all for it, you know, because he says some pretty... Yeah. So
good deal, man.
In a case, you know, but I don't know. I don't agree with what he says, but I think that it was wrong the way they took him out. You know, because what does that mean? That means that anybody is fair game. You know, whether or not he was right or wrong. And some of the stuff he said was right. A lot of the stuff he said I didn't agree with and was wrong. Well, but, you know, for
if you're going to be a voice piece and talk to the masses, and you need to have facts. And if you're going to spout erroneous facts then that shape people's way of thinking, then yeah, I don't think you should be able to say the things that you say.
That's an interesting story topic for maybe another podcast too, because there's a lot of voices out there, you know, and that's what the church was for me. You know, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the takeaway from this is that I didn't believe everything that the church was telling me.
Me too. Cause I started reading and I started doing research, and then I found out that the stories of Moses sounded very similar to the stories of Mises. The stories of Isis were very close to the stories of Mary the Virgin, and I started researching, you know, Noah's Ark and all that kind of stuff, and I was like, holy crap, I think I have missed the boat. What if religion...
Or the Ark.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not all gold.
What if what I believe is Christianity is no different than what the Romans believed with Zeus or with Jupiter or whatever the case may be, and like it was no better or no different than that.
So when did you find that you were drifting away from religion? I know you said it was when, you know, you couldn't date your wife and you kind of broke away from the church, but you still believe in God. You still have
I still believe in God. Basically, my belief goes to this. Everything has to come from something, right? In physics, you got to have something to create something. Energy is neither created nor destroyed.
Right.
So it means that there has to be something in the beginning that created all that. And there's no answer physically for that. So that to me means that there is a God. And I've felt things. I have. And I'm not saying that feelings are a great way of validating any kind of thing, but I do feel like there have been times where I've gone through something and I feel the world kind of bends around me, kind of like the Matrix and Neo.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like he moves and I feel his presence. I don't know exactly the shape that it's in, or you know what I mean? With religion, you have all these books and Bibles and all this stuff that tells you what it's supposed to be like. But once you kind of see that, like for me, once I saw that that wasn't really the truth, now I'm like, oh man, now I have to try and define God the way that I know him. And there's no real bounds and there's not a whole lot of framework for me. So that's kind of where I'm at.
I think that that's a good framework to have though. You know, I believe that God is a very personal experience. And you know, we had talked a little bit about this again when we were putting the show together, and I don't, I mean, if religion is your get down, I'm all for it. You know, if you are a good person and you need religion, you need that community, you need that group, and you do a lot of good work with them, you know, and that's how you find your higher power, then use religion as that sounding board. You know, for me, it's more of a state of being. You know, as AA, it gives me connection to a higher power, a spiritual experience that is greater than myself. And all of the things that I would do maybe with the church, I do with AA. Like on Saturday, you know,
fellowship.
And we went to Skid Row. Like I didn't go to Skid Row this time, but we go to Skid Row and we give out water and clothes and help people, you know, basically like the same acts of faith or acts of service that you'd have in a Christian environment, you know, or a religious environment. You know, I told you one of my favorite commitments is on Sundays, first Sunday of the month, we cook breakfast for, you know, this homeless group and you know, this other group. So there's a lot that goes into those acts of service. But the reason why we do those acts of service, you know, not only is to get a connection to a higher power, but it's also to get out of ourselves.
Yeah, that's important. And I mean, I do acts of service too. I feel like that's really where it's at. If you can't serve anybody else, that means that you're not pushing ahead forward and higher. So I do a lot of that kind of stuff too. But again, I think that a lot of times when it comes to religion, specifically Christianity, people do it for the wrong reasons. They do it to be seen. They do it for so that they can get into heaven.
Oh, they think, right, they think that that's enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but when it comes in pulling this back over to accessing power, I think when you don't listen to that voice, when you're not in connection with God, you can't move in the direction that you're created to go. And that's the big difference.
Mm.
When you are just listening to your own voice, I think sometimes you can misinterpret what your mind is telling you or what your body is telling you or what other voices, the shitty committee is telling you. Whereas when you hear that voice and you know, like, I'm specifically created to do these kinds of things, then that becomes much more powerful and you're willing to go through a whole lot more to get to that result rather than, you know, I thought this was going to be what I wanted, but it's not really. And so you stop.
Right. Or I showed up on Sunday, so I'm good.
Right.
For the week. You know, what good did you do other than maybe put a dollar in the basket or anything like that? You know, you gave an hour in church and now you're doing shitty things outside of,
right.
You know?
And that's how I came to my marriage with Gina. You know, I feel like she was specifically designed for me.
Mm.
So even if I found another girl, there would be nobody that was going to be better than her. So there's no real reason to cheat because whatever situation I got into was going to be worse than what I already had. I've already found the best. This is as good as it gets.
Right. I agree. So, Gina's awesome.
Gina is pretty. She's a badass, man.
I needed Gina.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah. Not your Gina. You, yeah.
You can't have my Gina.
I know. So What is our takeaways from this week? I mean, what's our homework assignment for our listeners? Or, you know,
I think you should take some time to meditate and think about what your structure is for God, and take some time to listen to the voice. Whether that's, you know, feeling His presence, whether that's getting an idea of what direction you want to go in, whether that's calming and soothing things out, if you have issues and problems, like putting them up to Him and listening back for the voice to tell you what to do. I found that most of the times when I pray, it's a one direction thing, and I think it's important to stop and listen and let it come back. So that would be my mission. That's going to be my mission for this week, is to make sure that I take the time not just to have it go up, but also to have it come back down. What about you?
So my assignment for our listeners is similar to yours, but I want people to actually listen to that shitty committee. Get used to hearing that, what that sounds like. To not confuse that with accurate thinking or accurate representation of how things should be. Because that, when I first started hearing it, recognizing it, because I've been hearing it forever.
Right.
But when I first started recognizing that, oh, this isn't God or this isn't a design for my life, I was able to go, oh, okay. So when I have this feeling of fear that isn't based upon an actual, you know, real circumstance, it's just this, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with anxiety and depression. It allowed me to go, what can I do to get around that? And I would also say, yeah, get that connection, meditate, get that two-way communication. And the practice that I do currently is I ask in the morning and I thank at night. So in the morning, I'll ask God, you know, God, I'll set my intentions. God, you know, let me be of maximum service to my people I work for and work with. And then at the end of the night, I thank God for all the things that He's given me, or the wins, you know, and even some of the losses, any of the lessons that I've had in the life. So for me, it's going to make sure that practice is done daily, because I don't do it every day. But when I start my morning with asking and I end my evening with thanking, it's always
a whole lot better.
Yeah, a whole better. It even frames my shitty days better.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Every day I meditate, I do a way better than
the days you don't. And then what are we going to talk about next week? Because we did our first six episodes, which is our half season.
Yeah.
And now we're in episode 7. So what do we want to talk about next week? Do we have an idea? I know we have a bunch of things written down. Do we want to go back to coping mechanisms? I mean, we kind of talked about that with meditation and religion. I don't even think religion was one of our original. Oh, spirituality, connectedness. It looks like the next one we had was, All right, I think I have a 9. Do you have anything written down?
Well, why don't we talk about family next week, since we hinted at that a little earlier? All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We'd love to hear how religion affects you guys, or if you have any beliefs that aren't mainstream. Hopefully this has been as entertaining for you as it was for us recording it. So tune in next week, and don't forget to level up.
Level up.
Music by Boxcat Games.